So have you ever had to relate to something, you know, ever tried to relate to something? Like maybe trying to relate to modern slang, you know, like maybe you want your kids or your grandkids or your nieces or nephews or the neighbor's kids to think that you have Max Aura. If you don't know what that is, it means that you are positively doing things in your life to improve yourself. Part of who you are, part of what you're doing, little Max Aura. So we try sometimes to relate to the lingo of the day. Sometimes we try to relate to a new diet or new medicine that the doctor has given us. Sometimes we're trying to relate to a new job, relate to a new school year, maybe relate to a new brand of liver sausage. Yeah, I mean, that's really livering on the edge when you're doing that. But what if what you need to relate to the most is not a new brand of liver sausage, not a new school year, but you actually need to relate to someone you are related to? That what you need most in relating in life is to relate to someone you're related to. We're finishing up our series, Look Here, where we have been looking at the most practical help for the moments in life that we get discouraged. And we get discouraged in life, don't we? And it's the kind of help that has a reality connected to it, a reality that cannot change no matter how terrific or terrible life may be. And that reality is connected to who you're related to. So what is it with this relation? Well, let's see if we can find out. Today's message is Look Here to Relate. And we're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 12, the first part of verse 5. And it begins like this. And you have forgotten. Have you ever forgotten something important? Maybe a birthday, anniversary, the PIN number for your debit card, the term paper book report that was due last Friday. And when we forget something important, does it ever cause any problems in life? Sure it does. There's all kinds of problems that happen when we forget things that are important. And that can be particularly true if we forget something that is true about God. The idea of forgetting here is it's like we learned something a long time ago, and we know it's true, and we still believe it's true, but we kind of don't act like it's true. Like in the moment, we kind of forget that it's true. I was at a funeral yesterday for my first boss and in my hometown, and several of us were just reminded of the grace of God in our lives growing up in the church that we did. Growing up in the community that we did, the way the gospel was so seen in so many different people's lives. And I made the comment, we were at the cemetery where my dad is buried, and I said, you know, I said, over there is where my dad's buried. I said, you'd be amazed how many men are buried right around this area from First Baptist Church in North Augusta that have had a huge impact on so many people's lives, particularly so many guys from my home church that are pastors and in the ministry. And we remember some of those truths that we heard when we were young. Even if you're not a Christian, you remember things that were true when you were young, but we remember things that are true. We believe them, and somewhere deep down we know they're still true, but we forget them. And why do we forget them? Well, we forget them because we can get so discouraged. We can get so stressed out. We can get so angry, so frustrated, so overwhelmed that we forget. We forget things that are true. We can't think. We can't process. We can't remember what's happening around us. Can you relate to that? Maybe that's how you feel today. There's so much going on in your life, you just can't think. And in those moments, it's natural for any of us, we forget sometimes the things that are most true. And what were these folks forgetting? Look at the next part of verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation. They had forgotten an exhortation. Well, what's an exhortation? Well, it's kind of an encouragement. It's where you come alongside someone and you encourage them. Now, an encouraging exhortation can sound like this. Bravissimo! You're doing a great job! Wonderful! Or an encouraging exhortation can be, warning, warning, Will Robinson, this is a danger zone. In other words, an exhortation is an encouragement that can bring comfort, it can bring confidence, and it can also bring a little bit of correction. And what exhortation had they forgotten? Well, our whole next series is going to be on this exhortation. And so we'll spend some time looking at that, but for this time in this moment, we're just going to kind of read and hear the exhortation. And this exhortation is in the next part of verse 5 and verse 6. It's actually taken from the Old Testament in Proverbs, and it goes like this, Hebrews 12, 5. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are punished by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he punishes every son whom he accepts. So the exhortation here is the encouragement of the discipline, the chastening, and the punishment of the Lord. Now, someone may say, well, that don't sound encouraging. And I got to be honest, I don't know what I'm thinking getting ready to do a whole series on the discipline of the Lord. But hey, we'll see where it goes. But this picture here is at first glance, it doesn't sound encouraging. The discipline, the chastening, the punishment of the Lord. That doesn't sound encouraging at first glance, which is why we aren't just going to first glance it. We're going to unpack it a little bit and look and see what's happening. But there's no way we could ever understand the discipline, the chastening, and the punishment of the Lord if we can't get the next part of verse 5. Here's what it says. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. This isn't just some random thing they've forgotten. They haven't forgotten the great dad joke the pastor told last Sunday. You know, they haven't forgotten, you know, some quote from the sermon last Sunday. They have forgotten who they are. But doesn't that just sound crazy? How in the world can you forget who you are? I mean, have you had one of those moments? I have. I've been having senior moments for 25 years, you know. Somebody asked me my name. I'm like, hang on a second. Where am I? Let me remember where I am. But they forgot their identity. They forgot who they were. How can you do that? Here's how. You get so discouraged. You get so stressed out. You get so angry, so frustrated, so overwhelmed. You can't think, you can't remember, you can't process. And in a sense, you kind of forget your identity. You forget who you are. And who were they? Well, it says right there in verse 5, they were sons, sons of God. Someone may say, how in the world do you forget you're a son of God? Someone else may say, well, wait a minute. What about the daughters of God? That's a great question. So we're going to dig down on that just for a moment here. About the same time that the letter to the Hebrews was written, Paul also wrote a letter to some folks at the church in Galatia. And when these letters came to the churches in the different areas, the church would gather like we are today, and they would have someone stand up and read these letters to the whole congregation. So this letter that came to the church at Galatia, as it was being read, this is part of what the people would have heard that day in the original language. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In ancient times, sons were the only named legal heirs. In other words, a woman could not be a direct heir. If she did have some kind of inheritance, it would, in a sense, only come through marriage. But Paul says here, all are sons of God. What does that mean? Chelsea Stanley is a wife and mom in Wisconsin. I love her thoughts on Galatians 3:26. This is what she says. Picture these women hearing Paul's letter read out loud, a letter addressed to the entire Galatian church. They understood sonship and all that it entailed. So hearing that God had given both brothers and sisters together the status of sons would have blown them away. She says this, God stepped in and radically declared that men and women are one in Christ, equally privileged and exalted, co-heirs together. They had forgotten they were sons and daughters of God. They had forgotten they were co-heirs with Christ. They had forgotten their inheritance. Now, in modern times, that sounds crazy, right? I mean, sadly, we live in a culture where, you know, we're kind of trained to think of our inheritance, trained to think of that money we may get if so-and-so dies. Since my dad died, I'm kind of the legal and practical CEO of my family. And my mom and my sisters and I, we get along great, so everything's all fine and well. But I remember 4 years ago sitting in a lawyer's office with my dad. And we were beginning the process of looking into the sale of the old family farm, my grandparents' land. And so, you know, it was my dad and cousins. I mean, there were a number of us involved. And I remember that conversation that day in the lawyer's office. The lawyer said, you know, first generation, no big deal, meaning like the brothers and sisters. He said, you know, Mr. Josie, you and your sister and your brothers, y'all shook hands and said, hey, this is what's going to happen. He said, but then second generation, it gets a little more tense because it's now not just the four people shaking hands. You know, now, you know, we've got you, and then we've got, you know, cousins, and we got the kids, you know, involved this now. So second generation, it's a little tenser, not terrible. He said, but by third generation, everybody just lawyers up, and they're fighting to get everything they can. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. We kind of live in a culture when we hear the word inheritance, we've kind of been trained first and most to think, hey, what can I get out of that? But I want to encourage you that if you are in Christ and you get wrapped up in family inheritance squabbles, do not let them overwhelm you. I know that's easier said than done, but don't let them overwhelm you. Don't let the fear of losing out on something that you think you deserve or some right you have, don't let it overwhelm you. Because here's the thing. Whatever it is you think you may lose out on will not be in your coffin or your cremation urn. And someone may say, oh, well, no, I'm fighting for my kids so that they can have it. You know what? Your kids can learn how to work and save and invest on their own too. Do not let these things dominate your mind. Why? Chelsea goes on. We are guaranteed nothing this side of heaven. That's a deeply true sentence. We don't like to hear it sometimes, but it's deeply true. This side of heaven, Christian, we are guaranteed nothing. But there's good news. Chelsea goes on. When God adopted us as sons, and I should note, the title of her article was Daughters, God Has Made Us Sons. So she's speaking primarily to women. When God adopted us as sons, however, God gave us a down payment on our inheritance, His very Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who keeps our inheritance safe and who seals our status as sons of God. No loophole nor technicality can rob us of our inheritance in Christ. That is a huge point, because there may be a loophole or a technicality where you miss out on grandma's sewing table. There may be a loophole or a technicality where you miss out on some money or some land that you think you rightly deserve. But friend, if you are in Christ, there is no loophole, there is no technicality that can take away your inheritance with Jesus. And that is the inheritance that matters the most. And they forgot it. We would never do anything like that, would we? They forgot. In Christ, you cannot be robbed. In Christ, you cannot lose, because you are a son or a daughter of God. And they forgot. They forgot. If you're a Christian, have you forgotten? Has life overwhelmed you to the point that you've forgotten what you have in Christ? Chelsea makes just a few more statements that I think in August of 2025 is just important. Whether you're a woman or not, I just think these things matter. So let me share just a couple more thoughts from her. She says this: as our own society fights against the abuse and mistreatment of women by men in authority, which we see everywhere, she says this: women of God can rejoice in knowing that our Father loves us so much that He sent His own Son to die for us so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, but sons and heirs of God. And she says this: fellow daughters, you are chosen heirs of the Most High God. Embrace your status as sons. Live as children of the promise and look forward with joy to the inheritance that awaits you. Embrace your status as a son or daughter of God. Embrace it. But maybe you can't embrace that status because it's not your status. Maybe you haven't forgotten that you're a son or daughter of God because you're not a son or daughter of God. How can that change? Listen again to what Paul wrote, Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How can your status with God change? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Our status as a son or daughter of God only comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12 says this: but to all who did receive Him, who did receive Christ, who believed in His name, not one time, but continued to believe, He gave the right to become children of God. The right to become a child of God, a son or daughter of God, does not come by just attending church or by keeping the Ten Commandments, because you can't keep the Ten Commandments. The right to become a son or daughter of God comes through faith in Christ. It comes to those who receive Christ, to those who believe in Christ, to those who cling to Christ, to those who trust in Christ for all things here on this earth, even if they feel they are being cheated out of some inheritance. To those who trust Christ as the only entrance to heaven. The right to become a child of God, a son or daughter of God, comes through Christ and Christ alone. There is no other way. Now, you may have heard someone say, well, hey, we're all God's creatures. That's a true statement. There is a sense that you could say we're all sons and daughters of God because we've been created by God. But that does not mean we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. A true son, a true daughter, is someone who has received and who is believing. So have you believed and received. If not, don't delay. Don't delay. Look at Jesus. Look at his birth. Look at his life. Look at his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, his promised return. Look at the character of who he is. Look at Jesus and believe in Jesus and receive Jesus. Look at Jesus for real. Consider him. Engage with him. Because Jesus said what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whether through our earthly death or through the return of Christ, the kingdom of God is at hand. If you have not already, repent and believe. And if you have, don't forget. Don't forget you're a son of God. Don't forget you're a daughter of God. Don't forget that no one can rob your inheritance. No one can take it away from you. You cannot have anyone change your status in the universe. It's the greatest there is. Philip Ryken is the president of Wheaton College. He said this: there is no higher status a human being can ever achieve than to be called a son or daughter of the Most High God. Think of whatever organization you're a part of. This is going to sound controversial, but it's okay. Think of whatever organizations that we're a part of in life. There are times that we find more joy in being an alumni of the university than we do in being a child of God and the church. We don't want to admit it, but it's true. We get happier. Change our entire schedule around our favorite team. Man, I tell you what, if those screens don't work at church next Sunday, I ain't going. We're just sinful. It just happens. But you think of the things that we love the most in life, and if we're not careful, we will look at the status of all our other titles in life, whether it's father, mother, whatever it may be, and we begin to see that status as more exciting and more satisfying and more important. But the highest status that any person could ever have is to be a son or daughter of God. That there's nothing greater than that. And in your moment of deepest discouragement, whether it's marriage, family, kids, work, health, whatever it may be, in our moments of deepest discouragement, to be a son or daughter of God, that status changes everything. But it doesn't always feel like that in the moment, does it? In the moment, we can't always relate to that truth. In the moment, sometimes we forget. John Bloom is the co-founder of Desiring God Ministries, and in the spring of 1997, when the ministry was just really taking off, he got deeply discouraged. In fact, his language that he used was, it was the dark night of his soul. You ever had a moment, a month, a week, a year that felt like that? A dark night of the soul? This is how he described it. Everything appeared hollow. Work appeared meaningless. Rest appeared meaningless. Leisure appeared meaningless. The cosmos appeared meaningless. Life appeared meaningless. Can you relate to that? And then on Saturday, August 23rd, 1997, his family was gone out shopping and he was alone at the house, and he became so overwhelmed with his discouragement that he just threw himself on the floor. And he prayed a very, very specific prayer. This was his prayer. Lord, if you just somehow whisper to me that you're still there, and I'm your son, And all this is for your good purpose. I think I can endure anything. Just whisper to me, I'm your son. 9:30 that night, he got a call. It seemed that the person who was supposed to read scripture during the Sunday service at church the next day had just gone to the emergency room, so they were asking him, since he was a new staff member, if he would read scripture the next day. And John's first thought was, no way. Gosh, I mean, it's just been a few hours since I was laying on my floor in deep discouragement. I'm the last person who needs to be on stage at church tomorrow. But he was new staff, he felt some pressure, so he agreed to do it. About an hour later, he sat down to read the portion of scripture that he had been assigned for the next Sunday. And he opened up his Bible, and these are the words he read. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. In just a matter of hours, God answered his prayer. Hebrews 12 was the passage that was supposed to be read the next day. God, if you'll just whisper to me that I'm your son or your daughter, I think I can endure anything. And God whispered, you're my son. We all may face a dark night of the soul. Some of us already have. If you haven't yet, you may later. But if you are a son or daughter of God, you cannot be robbed of your inheritance. If you are a son or daughter of God, one day, maybe here on this earth, but at least one day, there is coming a day where the darkness will lift and it will never return. John Bloom says this, though it would take a long time for my weakened soul to recover fully, the night was over. The darkness will lift. And that's why we don't forget. We don't forget that we are sons and daughters of God. We look at Jesus and we remember. And we remember that God never stops whispering our identity. If you are related to Christ, everything will be okay.